One of the things I want to talk about, sometimes I feel like this is what it's like to be a leader. So just more than preach at you, I just want to share a bit and talk and get your feedback from time to time and that sort of thing. Firstly, I want to say this, what makes me tick? What made me tick? So I want you to know I'm a local church man. I believe that the answer in the nation is going to come through churches like this. Okay? I believe that. In every community, God's got his people. And none of us are perfect. We're on a journey. We're going somewhere. But God is going to come to the community through people who are totally given. And that's the key to it, being totally given, right? The church is called to be the governmental authority. I'm in a pastor's forum in Melbourne, and we're talking about what is the ecclesia. Do you know what that word is, ecclesia? Do you know what that means? It's in Matthew 16. It talks about how Jesus was at Caesarea Philippi, and he spoke to his disciples, and he said, "Who do men say that I am?" And you know, they responded to him and say Elijah, some Jeremiah, some one of the prophets. But he said, "But who do you say that I am?" And Peter said, "You're the Christ. You're the Son of the living God." And it had been revealed to him. Jesus' response, "Flesh and blood hasn't revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." And he said, "You are," his name then was Simon, but he said, "You are now Peter. And on this rock, I'm going to build my church." And the word church actually means, it comes from the Greek word ecclesia, which means governing authority on the earth. That's pretty cool, isn't it? That is very powerful. So the church is, you know, it's not just meant to be where people come and gather and get together and high five and, you know, have coffee and cake after and you have this big crowd. But you have not necessarily become the ecclesia of God. So what God wants to do in the city is build his ecclesia, his governing authority. And, you know, when we pray because we have become his governing authority, something really happens because of that. It's very powerful. It's very powerful. The thing is with this, which I explained on this pastor's forum during the week, is when Jesus spoke to Simon, Simon Bar-Jonah, he was speaking prophetically. He said, "You are my ecclesia. You are my governing authority." Do you know what that word church, it actually means governing authority. It means, it's a bit like the word senate. So when we pray, when we declare, when we begin to speak out things from the heart of God, those words go out into the region and begin to change things. This is where I reckon it's pretty cool what Joe said, where he came from Ballarat and came through Melbourne and then he comes into Gippsland and he begins to pick up something's going to happen here. I believe that is because that in Gippsland, God is bringing together his ecclesia, his governing authority, and as we begin to pray, things happen. In fact, as you read on there, it says, "Whatever you bind on earth, it's going to be bound in the heavens. Whatever you loose on the earth is going to be loosed in heavens." Pretty cool. So that's where I'm coming from. So this is how I function. I want you to know how I function. I don't function looking at the problems around me and respond to that, although I do. But my primary mode of operation is, "God, what do you want to do? What do you want to say? What is the word you want me to preach? What is the revelation you want to bring?" So I'm always there going, "God, you better turn up for me. You better speak to me." And that is where I operate. So a lot of people just operate very from the ground up. Does it make sense? But that's not the way that God wants us to operate. He wants us to operate from the heavens down. In other words, if we need an answer, we on the earth can try and figure out the answer. And sometimes just really practical, like if someone's short of money, give them some money. You don't have to pray about it. spray about it. You don't have to pray about it. You just, you know, figure it out. You don't have to pray. But if we want to change the city, if we want to change in the government, if we want to see our nation change, we've really got to go into the heavens and we've got to pray. We've got to ask God to change me. And then we can bring change on the earth, right? So that's how I function. So I reckon this is cool. Now, next thing. So that's what God's doing. That's what he's saying here. The next thing, our response to God is going to determine the outcomes. So our response to God is going to determine the outcome. How are you going there, Elise? You doing all right? I think you're still... Your meds are drowsy. They're doing the job anyway. They're keeping the pain away. But this morning, I wanted to talk about communication. And one of the reasons is last year, I remember having a meeting with Jules, and we'd all been working super hard, like really going for it. And I think Joy was there. You were there. I think Kath was there. We had a little, you know, gathering. And Jill's asked me how I thought we're going. I thought we're going really well, except I think we're a bit scattered. You know, I think we're a bit scattered. And that's not a criticism, but that can happen. I want to show you something because we're not the first city builders in the world. Have a look at this. Go to Genesis chapter 11. Hoping I can explain myself okay this morning. I'm not stressed about it because we're on a journey. Yeah. It's Genesis chapter 11. This is just after there's been a flood. Noah's rescued the people. The earth began to repopulate. So it wasn't that long after the flood, I believe. But this is what happened. It says, now the whole earth had one language and one speech. That's pretty good. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. Then they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone and they had asphalt for mortar. And they said, come, let us build ourselves a city. So they were city builders. And a tower whose top is to the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered, there's that word scattered, abroad over the whole of the face of the earth. But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. And they said, indeed, the language are one, and they've all got one language. In other words, they're a pretty unified bunch. And this is what they began to do. Now nothing that they purpose to do will be withheld from them. Let us come, go down, and confuse their language that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from all over the face of the earth, and they ceased building the city. It's a bit interesting, isn't it? You know, it's a bit interesting. And I reckon there's a couple of issues in this verse of Scripture. I think the first one is motivation. The first one is motivation. In other words, if our motivation is for ourselves, to do something for ourselves, come let us go and let's build a tower. We are going to build something big. We are going to do something that's going to change the nations. Then the motivation, if the motivation's not right, God's got to come down and he's got to stop the progress. It's interesting, isn't it? I think number two is the authorization. So the first one's motivation. The second one is authorization. Are we living our lives? Are we building what we're building under the authorization of God? Or is it our own authority? Our own, where did you get this idea to do this thing? I mean, City Builders Church, a great name. It says something. Sort of indicates that something's going on here. But, we can be doing our own thing. And this is what we've got to learn to do. This is what we've got to learn to do, City Builders Church, is we've got to learn to operate under the authorization of God. Sometimes we don't succeed in what we started out because it was our idea, not God's. And this is where I believe that, someone left our church a while ago because of the top-down management. And I sort of took it as a compliment. Because do you know what? The kingdom of God is top-down. You know, God's speaking in heaven and someone's picking it up on the earth and it sort of goes through like a chain of command. And then we get the job done. This is how it should be. So this is authorization. First issue, what was the first one? Second one was? Imagine going and building, and you didn't get it authorized. So the council come along and say, did you put that building on your property? And they make you tear it down. This actually happened to you, didn't it, Michael? Michael and Yvonne built themselves back in their hippie days. Without authorization, they just got this brilliant idea. Let's build a tower. They built a two-story bark hut, and then the shire found out, and they said, come on, guys, you've got to rip that thing down. Authorization. So you can have a great idea. You can do what you want. But imagine God comes down, he looks at your work, and he says, it does not meet... You know, it does not meet the standards of heaven. And that's how people are building things and it gets frustrated, gets shut. So that's authorization. Is this work authorized by God? You know, it is interesting. I do know that what we're doing here is authorized by God. This is how I know. 8 years before, God gave us a dream. And in that dream, he gave us that verse I just gave you before we ever came here. He gave us the date of our appointment in that same dream. 8 years before. Because I don't want to just be a leader because it's a good idea. You know, some people just go, hey, got nothing else to do. I've retired now. I might start a church. You dumb person. You can't do that. It's got to be authorized. You know, this is the church of the living God. There's got to be the stamp of God's approval on it. And sometimes, you know, people go out to build and even enter into marriage, but it's not authorized by God. Do you know what? Marriage is God's idea. I married her. Do you know why? She was God's choice for me. It was authorized in heaven long before we went to the altar and made it official, you know, legally. So if we can approach this way, so motivation, authorization, but the third one is communication. This is such an important thing. You know, if there was an issue that I believe could mess us up and stop us from fulfilling the plans and the purposes of God, it is our failure to communicate. And I really believe that this is something, just an adjustment I'd like to make in our church. I think we can get better. You can always get better. I put up a post during the week about marriages. You know, a couple, 10 tips there about making your marriage, taking your marriage from good to great. I think this is a good church. What do you think? Bit of feedback. What do you think, Libby? Is this a good church? Why? It's home. Okay, it's home. There's another one. Do you think it's a good church, Lynn? Yep. Why?
Well, I know God's called us here.
Yeah.
And I've spoken to us about this. But I love it because it's God's place for us.
She loves it because it's God's place for us.
Yeah, and the people
he's
put with us.
And the people, like the journey, the people, you know. It's fabulous, that part of it. So it's all about communication. Yeah. Now, this is what happens. This is Betsy over here who is doing some kind of a bioscience degree or something like that? What is it?
Biomedical science
she's doing. So she's pretty bright. And do you know what? We were talking about the body yesterday because this is a body, you know. Yeah. It's a church, but we're a body. And one of the things in your body is made up of lots of little cells. And there's neurons. I had it all written down, ready to go. And do you know what I did, Betsy? I left it at home. So neurons, what other types are there?
Just start it again.
So let's just talk about, you know, because I'm embarrassed her, obviously. Is neurons in your body, there's lots of little neurons. These are cells that talk to one another. And our church is made up of cells. And guess what? You're a cell, and you are, and you are. But when the cells stop talking to one another properly, do you know what? Health suffers. And this is medical fact. Libby would be able to tell us all about this. So if your cellular health is optimal, your health is optimal. That sounds smart, doesn't it? Is that true, Libby? If your cellular health is optimal, then your health is optimal. But if the cells begin to break down in your body and stop talking to one another, your health begins to break down. You got that?
Yeah.
Look, all with me? So I want you to understand this, because I'm talking to you different, because I want you to come up with some solutions. Because sometimes we don't talk to one another. So body here is made of lots of cells, and if the cells stop talking to one another, do you know what begins to happen? You begin to die. Do you know what? Churches have been known to die. And this is how it happens. The cells begin to not talk to one another. And you have all sorts of diseases. Cancer is rogue cells in the body. Have you ever heard of these ones called free radicals? Free radicals. Churches can have free radicals too. They're radical people who don't connect to anything and are strongly opinionated. And they can wreak havoc on the body. Did I get that right? You need antioxidants. You need to feed up on the Australian bush plum. Mix that with the barbecue. Brings balance in the diet. This is true stuff. It's science. But if I was to say an area where I think our church could really just pick up a little bit is in this area of communication. Here's some principles about communication. About communication. The first one is the principle of relationship. We're all related together. We're all, you know, being brought together by God. And there are dimensions of relationship. So there's casual relationship. You know, there's got to be contact in the relationship where, hey, we get together for a barbecue. We get together to go fishing. We get together to go, I don't do this, but go shopping. Lynn has her coffee dates. And this is, you know, the basis of good relationship. It's casual and it's contact and it's fun. But also God wants to take us deeper in relationship. Sometimes I think we're related, but we keep it at that level. And in my relationships with people, I'm almost hyper-relational. You know, almost like, I'm in your face, I've got to relate. Talk to me. Don't give me rejection. Don't reject me. Now, come on, talk to me. I'm like that. John's a bit like that, the poor thing. I know what he's got to look forward to. So hyper-relatable. You know, people know what I think. They know what I feel. So that's me. But what we've got to do is we've got to learn to go deeper in relationship. Based on this principle of cellular health, we've got to learn to talk to one another, because this cell can be quite different to this one. And we need to be able, that's true, isn't it? And we need to be able to talk. We need to be able to relate. We need to be able to be like those neurons. And neurons are like this, like the electrical pulses go through the neurons. And it starts in the head, and the head gets an idea and it goes, I'm going to walk out that door. and everything just moves together in perfect harmony. But when the communication breaks down, it's like the neurons are not talking to one another. The head gets an idea and goes, I'm going to walk, and everything else rebels. You know, and this is some kind of paralysis that can happen. You understanding this? So the first one is the principle of relationship. We've got to get better at relationship. If we want our church to grow, to mature, we've actually got to get better in the way that we relate to one another. I don't suggest you all become hyper-relatable like me, but you know, when I get together with Julian, I almost always say, what do I say to you?
How you going?
Start, level one. Level two is showing my care for him, okay? Because I do care. So I always do this. It starts there, how you going? How's the family? How's everything going? So, you know, Heidi's not well this morning, and you know, there's that natural care that happens. But then you've got to go further. And this is where the God spark begins to happen. I'll read this to you because I believe God spoke to me back on the 9th of January this year. Do you remember this? I went through this season where I was just having a lot of dreams. And I woke up thinking of this, and I had a picture in my mind of car battery leads, and they were sparking. At least you make me laugh. Sorry, Dale. The connection must be, our connection must be of the heart. So do you know what's happening here? Here's two people. They friends, and it starts having coffees. A relationship is built. There's really care. Kathleen is just a master carer.
Yes,
she really is. She cares for people. I've seen the way this lady's poured her life out for people because she genuinely cares. That's level two. But level three is where the God spark happens. And it's where we begin to share our faith together. And we're sharing our lives together. And there's a intimacy that is such a godly thing begins to come in the relationship. This is the God spark. This is where God can even bring a revival in a church when two people just get together and begin to share their hearts. And they begin to say, let's ask God what he's saying. It's awesome. Some people, it is all academic. It's all work. It is all, if I could say this, unauthorized behavior. It's not bad, but we're trying to build something for God, but God never said it. So in our relationship, Lynn and myself are very different. I'm very, you know, as you can see, verbose, relational, heart on the sleeve. Lynn's very pragmatic, practical. She's got different love language to me, but it's a lot of fun. So we connect in the fun. We laugh a lot. And in amongst the lots of laughter, we have lots of tension. And it's really like up, down. You know, that's what it's like at our place. Everybody's like that. And then Anita tells you to rack off in amongst all that. It's just like that in our household, but there's a lot of love there.
Yeah.
But you see, the God spark happens when I cross over into Lynn's world and I begin to talk to her, and as her husband, I begin to draw her out. I do this a lot with Lynn. We've had some funny discussions over the years. I remember once, you know, in our courtship, I've got to tell this because this makes me laugh, because this is how you've got to work on it. You know, one time was sort of getting into a bit of a season where I thought, oh, I need to romance my wife a bit more. And we went for a walk on a misty night around the lake, and it was lit, misty, beautiful. I stopped under a lamp. Like, there's fog there. It was just beautiful. It was romantic. I said, hey, I looked her in the eye. I said, I love you. She didn't say much. She said, oh, something like, gee, we've been out for a while. It's probably... I said, how do you feel when I say that? And she says, it's like you're stating a fact. That's our relationship. What's yours like? Are you finding this helpful? my brutal honesty. The connection must be of the heart, not just of the mind and the soul. You know, in our relationship, we've got to get round to talking a lot about what God's saying. So what I loved last night with meeting Joe and Christy there, who've come from an entire background for us, and we sat down there and just, cheese, crackers, really good. Really good. Couple of drinks, really nice. Food, brilliant. And then we got down to it, we started talking about what God's saying. Yeah. Do you know what? There's got to be that in your relationship. Or you're missing something. Yes. You're missing something. Okay, the connection must be the heart. This is back to 9th of January. I'm going all over the place. God will join people together to impact strategic places. And we talked last time, I preached about Jonathan and David, how God brought these two guys together and there was a God spark. What was there? A God spark. Do you know there must be a God spark in your relationship? This is where the impossible, as Julian said, becomes possible. It's the God spark. Two people get married. And when conception happens, there, you know, poor man Pat O'Brien got absolutely terrorized for saying this. But this is scientific fact. When conception happens, there's a God spark that is measurable under a microscope. It's the miracle conception that happens when a man and a woman come together and are joined in that way. But whenever we get together and we talk and we pray and we think about the possibilities, and I say, Lynn, this is what I'm hearing. And she goes, yes, that's what I'm thinking too. There's a God spark. Yeah. Yeah. So I can't remember the discussion that happened when we were in that coffee shop. 31 years ago, 74 Delhi, I looked across the road and I saw Jesus is Lord written across the stables. And I said, one day, there's going to be a church in there. Yes. Do you know what? There was a God spark between us. And something that is impossible now becomes possible. Yes. See, this is the principle of relationship. This season is about realigning, reconnecting, and doing some restructuring. And when everything is connected relationally, power can flow. Yeah. Do you like that? Do you like that? Who's praying for more power? Yeah. You know, I tell you what, you pray for power and God will tell you this, go sort out your relationships. Go fix it with your wife. Go fix it with your friends. Go fix it with other believers that you've got into contention with. If there's a bit of a breakdown, a bit of a distance, a bit of a disconnect, go and fix it. Yeah. This is the principle of power. The God spark, anything can happen. The city and the nation become changed. I wrote this down on the 9th of January. You know, this is the adjustment that I really believe we need to make, because I'm looking for the God spark. I believe that in Australia, the condition is ripe for a move of God. It's like the timber is dry. It's like the forest bed is so dry and it's waiting for a spark. The spark happens when two people get together who have got creative juices, and this is you and you and you for sure, and they get together and they start to think, what can we do in the stables? And they bring themselves before God, and all of a sudden it's the God spark of creativity. So we can gather around the needs of the soul or the purposes of the heart. God spoke this to me on the 9th of January. When we gather under the same assignment and begin to connect heart to heart, everything just connects. And wow. Let me tell you something. I am here as your leader I've done this for 25 years. I'm in my 26th year now. I've poured my heart out prophetically for the church. I don't think anyone could deny that. Now I need you. I need you. I need you to come and be that heart to heart. I need that, Pastor Brian, this is what I'm seeing in the spirit. This is what I'm dreaming. This is what I'm seeing happening to you, Pastor Brian. This is what I am hungering for this from my people. Pastor Graham's message down there in Maui there was so good about the relationship between fathers and sons, pastors and leaders. Because you hold part of the equation. And I hold part of the equation. It's the way we relate. It's what we talk about when we sit down. You know, I tell you what, God, our adversary, the devil, just wants to disconnect us and scatter us. So we've got to come into this place of more accurate relationship. Relationship. It's working together. It's sharing your hearts. It's the God spark. It's a beautiful thing when God speaks. But I need you to be where I am. I need you to pick up what I'm picking up. That prayer meeting was really cool on Friday. Something began to happen. But sometimes our minds can't pick it up. Because when one person's relating in a human way, but then God's bringing his word. Sometimes people who are academic and intellectual find it very hard to pick up the God spark. Because they're bright, they're intelligent, and they're trying to work it out in a human way. I've never had that problem. I've got to go, God, I don't know the answer. What is the answer to this? Give me a word, give me a word, give me a word. But when the word that's coming to me finds its place in your heart and you bring to the equation what you have, you and I, Sam, we can create a move of God in this nation. Yes, we can see our nation change if we relate the way, if we begin to talk about it. The second one. So the first one is the principle of relationship. Firstly, we need the grace to relate. In Luke chapter 10:38, Jesus came to Martha's house. And Martha was fussed about work. The Savior came. Jesus came. Maybe we could just go there and have a bit of a look at this because I think this is really very critical this morning. I think we've got a church full of really good people. And you are Martha all over. Because you've got Marthas and you've got Marys. Luke chapter 10. Know the story? Some will. Now it happened that they went and they entered a certain village and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into a house. And she had a sister called Mary who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with her serving. Yeah. Are there people in the church this morning that just love to serve? Yeah? Love to cook the meals. Love to fuss when the visitors come. Love to pick up what Pastor Brian is saying, then we do it to the letter. Anybody like that? These are what you call task-orientated animals. Martha was distracted by serving. Do you know, everybody's got a different love language. My wife, number one servant. Poor old Elise. So I'll tell you what I'm like. I'm like, I've got to press in. This is how I am. And this is probably why God made me your leader. I've got to press in. I've got to get in God's face and I've got to say, God, what is going on? and I get the download. That's the type of person that I am. And because of that, I'm a blessing to you. Opportunity for a response there? Yeah, well, just don't tell me now. How about you send me a text during the week and say, I really heard something positive about what you said and I'm going to work on that. Because that is the equation that I'm missing. It's a friendly rebuke. We are about ready to see the God spark. But it takes you, it takes me, and it takes God. Oh, I tell you what, you would launch your faith into another zone if you would start to do this. Elise just said to me, she said, during the worship, she said, I saw you leading. And there was an energy. And she said, then I saw Julian come in and dovetail with you, and it was like a river. God spark. See, you've got something to bring to this. What is the missing ingredient in a cake could be you. This is called the grace to relate. We need to grow in the grace, grow in our ability to relate. So our relationships, I reckon, if we did this, if we just did this, you know, in our legacy groups and our man up groups, if we took time each week to say, what do you think God is saying to our church? What is God saying prophetically to our church? Number two, the grace to receive. So important. So important. You know, if you are inclined to be a bit like Martha, because God needs Marthas. But the Marys, for some reason, are able to push in and minister and connect relationally. But it's difficult for the Marthas because they're doing the work. But we sort of need a bit more. The Marys need a bit more of Martha, and the Marthas need a bit more of Mary. Am I going okay? So number two is the grace to receive. In the beginning was the Word. Do you know what? The maximum communicator in the universe is God. In the beginning is the Word. The Word means it comes from the, it literally comes from the word communicate. That's what God is. God is the number one communicator. So we've got to grow in our ability, one, to relate, to communicate, to share our fears, to share our frustrations, to share our failures and not be intimidated by it. Number two, the grace to receive. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was God. God is a communicator. You like? And he wants to talk to you. It's amazing. In the beginning was the Word, God. And the Word wants to now come and connect on the inside of you. And this is so amazing. If you receive, if you have the grace to receive, you and God can become one.
That's good.
Wow.
Yes.
When you are like that, you'll never feel a failure again. You'll never feel lost again. You'll never feel disappointed again, because now the Word has come into your very existence. The Bible says that you are, when you're born again of an incorruptible seed. This is how the whole of the kingdom works. It's sort of like those neurons in your body. You know, when the Word of God comes from heaven into our house and is distributed to the people, the Word should go. And be shared. Did you hear what Pastor Brian said? This is amazing in PNG, how it works over there. It's bush telegraph. You know, this is what happened when I was up there. I went into there a couple of years ago and I bought a prophetic word in the nation, in the headquarters in Port Moresby. And on Monday, that was taught in every village in the nation. Because they pick up the Word. And the Word goes. They're not worried about work over there so much. They're the opposite. But when the Word comes here, it's hard to get out because we don't receive the Word like tribal people do. But seriously, you can deliver the word on Monday in Port Moresby and it's in Poppendetta by the end of the day, over the other side of the Kokoda Trail. The grace to receive. This is where we've just got to become tuned in and know what God's saying. If you know what God's saying. I put out a post during the week. It was really cool, I thought, because there's two dimensions to God speaking. One of them is called the now word. So the now word is what God is saying now in our church. That's why I got some of the guys up to share, because that's the now word. And what the now word does is it prepares the community for the God spark. So if you know what God is saying, if you've got an idea of what God's saying, when the prophetic word comes in, which is the specific, like, guided missile into the heart of the individual or a church or a nation, that whole environment can change just like that. This is the technology of heaven, the now word. So what's the now word? The word is what we're talking about now. This last 6 months, the now word's been coming into our church to prepare the church for what Joe's been talking about. But then there is the prophetic word. And the prophetic word is like a guided missile that Jesus is standing in the heavens and he's saying, Where's my sons? Where's my daughters? Where are the ones that have prepared themselves? Oh, there they are. Brian Heath is ready. He's got his hands up. He's looking to me. He knows how to receive and he knows how to decode. See? It's cool. That's why people come in here and they'll think, hey, there's something prophetic about this church, because that's how I spend my days. I've got to know. I can't work out things academically. I'm so happy about that. But I know what God's saying. I know what he's saying. So we need the grace. We need the grace to receive. God, give me the grace to receive, to hear what you're saying. It's beautiful. So in my diary, and I've been put it out nearly every day on Facebook to my leaders, this is what I believe God's saying. Because I'm bringing to you the now word. But when men of God come in, other men of God have got a prophetic word, they'll be able to launch a word that activates you into your destiny. It's like a guided missile. So I think you've got a bit of an idea of what God's been saying in our church. She's tuning in really well. Liam over there, this is Liam. He comes to the Man Up group every week. He is amazing. Do you know what God's talking about? The relationship part is so important, but the receiving point is so important. Pastor Bakari, who is changing the nation in Nigeria, says this: Lord, give us the capacity to receive, the grace to retain, and the courage to release. Whoa, how good's that? That's what'll change the nation. But see, some people are so analytical, so confident in their own ability, so convinced that their way will work, that it shortcuts the prophetic word. It nullifies the now word. So we just go, oh, well, I'm going to church, it's going to be good. See me mates, high five, do another barbecue, and she'll be good. Well, that's good. That's good. I love it. I'm in. I'm buying one of those barbecues. And I've got a mentor. But this is where good becomes great. Where we go, I had a dream last night. God spoke to me. I do this at 4:30 in the morning. And Lynn goes, I'm trying to sleep. Hey, we had the funniest night the other night. It was about three or four nights ago. We both heard this, didn't we? We both heard it. Buzz Lightyear to the rescue. To infinity beyond. And I thought, wow, this is spooky. This is real stuff. Anyhow, Lynn went searching. She found John's 20-year-old Buzz Lightyear and the batteries were going flat. Buzz Lightyear's real. Don't you tell me he's not. The grace, the capacity. God, give us the capacity to receive. But some people are so full with their own ways that they have no room. There's no hunger on the inside to receive. I tell you what, I'm hungry. I'm thirsty. I'm dry. And I want to receive. God, download into my spirit. I am interceding for this church that you've called me to lead. I'm interceding for this region. I'm interceding for the pastors. I'm interceding for our sons and daughters. Oh, God, don't leave me thirsty and dry. Send your word to me. And that's why I'm the way I am. That's why we've got a going show here. Because I'm listening. I'm receiving. And not only that, I'm developing the capacity on the inside. Some people haven't got much capacity. You know, they short circuit very quickly because their capacity hasn't been developed. But this is how you develop your capacity. You receive and you retain and you release. You keep responding. This is the next point, is how your capacity increases. It's number three. It's the grace to respond. Oh, I couldn't respond to anything in the early days. I was so full of fear and intimidation and so overly concerned about my lacks. Are we doing all right, or are you getting bored with this? Oh, I wish some of you would just talk to me and go, Pastor Brian, God spoke to me about you. I had a dream about you. I never hear that. Why? Is it because I talk so much that there's no time for you to respond? Or sometimes I just want to connect. Yeah. I want to go, God, give me the God spark.
Yeah.
I'm desperate.
Yeah.
I'm crazy. I'm on fire.
Yeah.
I'm burning, man. But you got something I need. Will you contribute your part to this? We can take a city. We can. You've got it. You've got it. You've got God in you, Kathleen McIver. You are a prophetic woman. You have God in you. You have something that can touch the city. Amen. You have. Don't just go about your world, your life, doing your thing. Pick up the now word. Get to know what God's saying. And you be the person who lights the match. Do you know, in the story of the Welsh revival, the atmosphere was like this. People started to say, God's going to do something. God's doing something. God's doing something. The nation was backslid. It was corrupt. It was around the turn of the century, 1900s. And, you know, God began to raise up a group of young people. And it was those young ones that brought the God spark. And the whole of the nations began to erupt. I believe it's going to happen. But see, Brooke, you've got something in you. Let me tell you about you. If the devil could keep you quiet, he succeeded. But there's something in you that is a God spark. Yep. If God can keep you out of the game, busy like Martha, if God can keep you on your hobby horse, then you'll never be that person to ignite what God wants to. The grace to respond. Sometimes we don't know how to respond. Because we've been brought up in an environment where maybe our parents said, sit there and wait till you're asked. So we don't know how to respond. But we're in an environment now where what you have is vital.
Yes. Yep.
What you have is vital. You are such an important part to this equation, if you only knew. Response is critical. Learn to respond well. In every season, we need to know how to respond because the seasons are changing. I believe that the season was where we could just go to church because things were good in the nation. But now this is the season where we need God and we need to respond because your children and your grandchildren are dependent on it. In the future, I need to respond differently. Say this, in the future, I need to respond differently. I love this verse. Got to memorize this verse. It's 1 Chronicles 12, verse 3. And it says, the sons of Isaac knew the seasons. They understood the seasons and they knew what to do. That's what our church is like. Everybody might not be feeling like that today. You might think, what's he talking about? I don't quite understand, but you're going to get better at this. Because as we work at it together, we'll get better. Can you help me with this? I can help you with this. But if you help me, I think we're going to have a breakout. A few small adjustments, is going to change the world. Can we have a talk for a minute? What do you think you've got to do? Fair question? Good response. Perfect response. She said, I didn't get what you said. I love it because sometimes people don't hear what you said. But I said, let's have a talk about it. What do you think you need to do? And you know, I'm not talking to, like, this would be difficult for people that are not used to being here, but what do you think you've got to do? What could you do to help me? Together, we connect, we bring the kingdom down. Whew, God spark. No right answer, no wrong answer. Yep. Yes. Yeah. Yep. Good answer. So first level, it's like, it's good to be together. We're having fun. Level two, how's the family? How are you going? I ask Lynn every day, how are you? Every day. Every day we just, you know, it's great to see one another. That's level one. Level two is, how are you? How are you feeling about this? Level three is, what is God saying? If we could bring this into our discussion, we can change the city. But I need to hear what God's saying to you. Because what God is saying to you, Beck McIver, is for me. See, I'm like the tuning fork. Yep.
I think being consistent with my response. So I think I go through patches of being very relational. I think I'm actually wired a little bit like you, like relationship, like I need the relationship. and I feel it when I don't get it. But I think that's where I need to be more consistent with it and not talk, and then go silent for a little while, and then talk, and then go silent for a little while. Just stay a bit more open and honest and consistently. And I think with you and across, like around as well, with, you know, the people around me and just get in on that a bit more, because I think that actually, that grows us just as much as that. So it's got to go, that relationship has to go all different directions. But yeah, consistency with it, I think.
Yes, very good. Can't hear a word you're saying. You'll have to come out here, it's your turn. Because I'm a senior too. I've got my card. That was a bit of an insult when I got that in the mail, but anyway.
Just during the week, I was really quite astounded. It's just what Pastor Brian's been talking about this morning. Pastor Brian's been pouring his heart out and he's been sometimes he'll put things up about what God is speaking to him, to some of us, or, you know, on our emerging leaders or whatever, and it's like a wall of silence sometimes. And it hurts. It hurts me. I always want to respond and often don't, because I don't want to be the only one that always responds and hogs the airwaves. But then it hurts me because I think, what he's saying, it's just so good, it's so life-giving, it's so important. It's the word that, like the disciples said when Jesus said, are you going to leave me too? They said, where else can we go? You have the word of life for us. Pastor Brian has the word of life for us. He's giving it to us, and it's like a wall of silence. And I think, is nothing happening? It grieves me. I wait to hear it. And a thumb up is not a response.
And we can't put all the response on one Facebook, but I need to hear your heart.
So there has to be feedback. There has to be feedback. Otherwise, Pastor Brian must feel like he's out there doing it on his own.
I would prefer people to say, that's baloney. Sometimes I really think you don't like me. Why else wouldn't you talk to me? Yeah. Yeah. Very good. You were a champion. Love having you here. Not just because you said something nice then. The God spark. Conception can't happen until we meet in the spirit. You know, it's when you get two or three people begin to talk. I've held that dream of Cobb and Co. for 31 years. But it was when Joel came onto my team and said, I'm going to help you do that, that the God spark happened, and now we're doing it. I need you, Libby. I need you. I need you on my team. I don't need you just to be a great doctor. You're a beautiful doctor, lovely wife, all that. But you got God in you. Yeah. And the God in you, when the God meets the God in me, whoa! Yeah. So Elizabeth met Mary, and the baby on the inside, whoa, yes! Because the kingdom of God was about ready to come. Some people walk in here and it's like, oh, I've been thirsty and dry, but all of a sudden I found something. Do you know why some of you are so thirsty and dry? You're trying to build from the ground up. That's why God puts supernatural interrupters in the body of Christ like me. Good days. Helpful message. I would love to hear from every one of you often. PM me. So I've been praying for you. This is what God said to me about you. Oh, you need to do that. You need to do that. I need to. Hey, you sent me a text. You don't know how much you blessed me. It shows that something's happening. And, you know, she sends a message to Lynn and myself, and it's just awesome. And it's just, okay, there's something here. Doesn't have to mean we have to be all, you know, over, you know. You know what I mean? But it's just something's happening. Addy contacted me during the week. You know, our friend Abby, she's really want you to pray for her, and she's in rehab. But she said, every time I speak to you, it is like I feel God there. But you know what? When she said that to me, it's like, so sometimes all about the footy, all about the barbecue. Good place to start. But let's take it further. Because the fulfillment of the dreams of people like me are in the ingredient that you have. Amen. Really love our church. Love you. I really do. I'm becoming more fatherly as time goes by. You probably see that. All of a sudden, I look in the mirror and I think, gee, you've changed. So I'll share something honestly, my honest heart. In this time, in this next 10 years of my life, I want to be the best father. To my own children, my own son, my own daughters, I want to be the best dad. To my spiritual sons and daughters, I want to be so there for you. So I've got to learn to father a little bit more accurately. But guess what? You've got to learn to daughter a little bit more accurately. Yeah, that's right. Hey? What do you reckon, Kaff? And it's biblical because it talks in there in Ephesians chapter 1, it talks about the spirit of adoption. So it's like our Heavenly Father is overshadowing this whole thing, and he's saying, Brian, would you represent me in that house? So as I extend my father heart to you, and as you respond to me, the spirit of adoption is touching. Amen. Make sense? That makes sense? Yep. So sometimes you just got to learn, because I can be frightening. How's this, Joe? Making sense? That's why there's such a disconnect in the church and the nations remain unchanged. Big churches, thousands of people. People are moving out every Sunday after church. They're so empty on the inside because God had something far greater for them. But it can't happen until, see, the fulfillment is when I rub shoulders, when I touch hearts, when we minister to one another. So Mari, every Sunday, she's one of my number one priorities. Serious?
Yep.
Do you feel like that?
Yep.
That's why I talk to you the way I do. So something just happened there. It's a God spark.
Yeah.
I can see it in her eyes.
Yeah,
it's a God spark.
Yeah.
So even now, my job is preparing her to cross over into her eternal reward. It's not just about coming to church. We've done life for 30 years together. Amen. How we can sell this whole thing short. But I'm excited about Jasmine because she has a part of the jigsaw, a little part that only she can put in there. And she is going to be such a face in this city that God's going to use because she's got part of it. But guess what? So is this one over here, Julie over here. I will sit here and I will not make any noise. I will not create any disruption, but you've got something to offer. She made me cupcakes once. I remember. Anyway, there end of the message. We might put on a bit of music. I don't think we need to do anything. I just need to think, all right, you need to get praying into this. You need to start downloading. I'm going to be at the prayer meeting every second Friday morning, and I am really locking in onto heaven for you and for this church, this region, this nation. It'd be great if you could be there. Amen. When the spark goes out, you won't want to be in a prayer meeting. You won't mind being in church, but when the spark is gone, no prayer meetings, please. I'm happy to have my fire out, and I don't want anyone to light it. Anyway, the meeting's over. God bless you. Yeah, let's give the Lord a praise, hey? Let's celebrate Him. Jesus! 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 Set us on fire! Every one of us. Oh, man, I love you, Jesus. I love you. And I'm thankful because you have given me the best wife. You've given me the best wife, the best son, the best daughters, the best spiritual daughters, sons. And we're going to finish this, Jules.
Yes. Amen.
Yep. Amen. We're going to finish this. I'm in for the till the finish line. Let's fulfill our dreams and fulfill our assignment together.
Yeah.
I love you and I love him and we love this city, this region, but I tell you, I love this nation and I need you to talk to me. Talk. Share your dreams, share your visions. I think when we don't connect, I could go for another hour about this because I think when we don't share our hearts, we share our frustrations on Facebook. That's what I do. No one else will talk to me. I'll make them talk to me. This message is to be continued. Put some music on up there, Dave. Anyway, thank you so much. Love you lots. Awesome.